passages today before we come to the Lord's table. First, Matthew chapter 22. And here I want to share with you what God's got on my heart to share with you today. And it's this: breaking bread without excuses. Breaking bread without excuses. Matthew chapter 22, and then we're going to look, hold your place in Matthew 22, and turn over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. So we're going to look at both passages. I've been praying this week, and the Lord led me to share this particular passage. Never preached on Matthew 22 before, or Luke 14, the passage we're going to look at. So I'm convinced the Lord's got this on my heart for a reason. Hey, let me ask you a question. As you're looking for Matthew chapter 22 and Luke chapter 14, will you be honest with me for a moment? Will you be honest? How many of you, tell the truth now, I know I fit in this category. How many of you today would be honest and say, I find myself making excuses for various reasons? You ever find yourself making excuses? Come on now. You ever find yourself making excuses? Especially when it's something you don't want to do, right? You find yourself making excuses for something you don't want to do. Well, we're going to see today why we should not, listen to me, we shouldn't make excuses when we come to the Lord's table. We shouldn't make excuses. And we're going to see examples of several excuses that people use today for coming to church or coming to the Lord's table or whatever. Speaking of excuses, did you hear about the old boy playing football? I know some of you keep up with football a good bit, and says college and shall I say NFL? No, never mind. Anyway, the point is this. I heard about a team. They were getting smeared. Man, they were getting beat. They were getting slobbered. I mean, slaughtered. Anyway, I guess they were getting slobbered too. But anyway, they were just getting smeared. And about that time, the old boy, they piled up the middle of the field. This team, home team, was just getting clobbered. And the fans started saying, give the ball to Calhoun. Give the ball to Calhoun. Let Calhoun run the ball. And they handed the ball off to someone else the next play. And, man, he got, you know, killed behind the line of scrimmage. And the play went on. You hear the fans, give the ball to Calhoun. Give the ball to Calhoun. And finally, after getting killed and getting smeared and thrown for losses, play after play after play, the fans hollered out, give the ball to Calhoun. Give the ball to Calhoun. Somebody from the team, the home team, shouted back, Calhoun don't want the ball. Calhoun don't want the ball. I don't know about that. But I know this, we can make all kinds of excuses for all kinds of things. Matthew 22, if you're there, say amen. Would you stand as we read the wonderful word of God? Matthew 22, verses 1 following. What we're going to do today is take Matthew 22 and then go to Luke chapter 14. It's the exact same parable. As you well know, the Lord Jesus spoke in parables numerous times. I personally believe this parable was meant, no doubt, for the Pharisees and the religious Jews of his day, because if you read the prior verses before what we're going to read, you're going to find out very clearly that this is exactly what Jesus intended. And therefore, these religious crowd needed to hear what the Lord was going to say. Now, hear me now before we read. Keep in mind, he's speaking to the Jews at this present time. And I believe that no doubt the kingdom was established, yea, the kingdom was offered to the Jewish people. However, as we're going to see in the text, the Jews, by and large, rejected the gospel that Christ died for his sins, was buried, on the third day rose again. And therefore, watch this, don't miss this. Are you ready for this? If you are, say amen. Amen. That was mighty weak. If you're ready for this, say amen.
Amen.
All right? The Jews rejected the kingdom of God. Therefore, the kingdom has been postponed for the Jews, by and large, until the millennial reign, which will come 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20. However, the Jews can be saved today, but that doesn't mean the kingdom is established. I thought I'd share with you that, in case those of you that study, I know you study your Bible, you study Bible prophecy. And now I'm begin reading in Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, saying, he said, the kingdom of heaven. In Luke chapter 14, we'll see where the reference is, the kingdom of God. These are interchangeable terms. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king. Notice, a king. By the way, this king is representative of God the Father, if you're taking notes. Likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The Son is likened unto the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Keep that in mind. God the Father, God the Son. Jesus is telling this particular story to, yea, parable to the religious crowd of his day, the Pharisees and the scribes. Verse 3. And he sent forth, this king did, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. There's a wedding. Hey, watch this. There's a feast. This is why the Lord led me to this passage. One of these days, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? I certainly am. We'll be married to the Lamb. It's going to take place after the rapture of the church. It's going to take place in glory after the judgment seat of Christ. Not whether we're saved or lost, but whether we receive crowns or whether we receive losses. And then after the Lord comes back to the earth, in which we'll come back with him, we'll enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so this is a foreshadowing. This is a prototype of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Keep reading. Verse 4, so the Father sends out servants to invite people to the wedding. Just like today, we're inviting people to come to Jesus, come to church. However, they would not come. Look at verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. That is the feast. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They were too busy. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, that is the father, the king, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up the city. No doubt this is a picture of 70 AD when Titus stormed in and destroyed Jerusalem, burned it to the ground. And yet it's also a foreshadowing of the great white throne judgment when God will sentence those who reject Jesus to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Look at verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go, I like verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as shall find, bid them to the marriage. In other words, the Lord is saying, the Jews are rejecting it, go to the Gentiles. Hey, that includes me and you. I'm glad about that. Look at verse 10. So those servants went out in the highways and gathered together all that as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, just a word quickly, and then we'll move on. The king probably provided garments for the wedding guest. And at any rate, this particular person didn't have a wedding garment on. You could liken this unto the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 12. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? He was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Say that with me. Many are called, but few are chosen. One more time. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now turn to Luke chapter 14. The same exact parable, and yet from Luke the physician, yea, the historian's perspective. Look at Luke chapter 14. We begin reading in verse number 14. Well, back up, fast forward to verse 15. Luke 14, verses 15 through 23. There's some more insight into this particular parable that I think would be very interesting and certainly go along with what we want to share before we approach the Lord's table. Verse 15. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he saith unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Here's the passage that the Lord led me to preach on today. Breaking bread. That's what we're fixing to do. Breaking bread. Where? In the kingdom of God. No doubt this is a foreshadowing again of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And yet, I realize this is a parable at the same time. Now listen, don't be distracted now. Y'all pay attention, please, because we're going to find out a lot of us sometimes have excuses for serving the Lord or excuses for not forgiving our brothers or excuses for not loving one another. And that's why the Lord led me to this title, Breaking Bread Without Excuses. Let's get rid of our excuses, all right? Me included. Verse number 16. And then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. That is, he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, look at this, verse 18, underline it. And they all with one consent began to do what? They make excuses. they begin to say things like, for example, verse 18, keep reading. The first one said unto him, I have a piece of ground. The word is agros, which means a farm or a large piece of ground. The first one says, I've got a farm. I got to take care of my farm. I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see about it. I pray thee, have me excuse. So the servants are inviting these people to come to the wedding supper of the father's son. Jesus is telling the Pharisees this. You get the picture. Look at verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them or test them. I pray thee, have me excuse. Now there was no reason why. People would check out their oxen before they even bought them. So this is a lame excuse or an alibi for this person not coming to the marriage or to this wedding feast. I've got property, says one. I've got oxen, says two. Now look at verse number 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Hey, my question is this. Why not bring your wife? Hello? Can I say this, and I don't mean to be offensive at this. I love you, you know that. But I know a lot of times we use our family for excuses for not coming to church, or we use our family for not serving God. Now, you're to love your family and keep your family in your priorities, but keep Jesus top of your priority. People say, well, I can't come to church today, Pastor. Such and such is going on, or I got family coming in. And well, bring them to church. Amen. I'm just being honest with you, okay? I know many of you are so faithful and all, but my point is, and you get the picture, we're making all kind of excuses for just about everything these days if we're not careful. And I know I'm preaching and sharing with you, but I'm preaching to myself too. Bring your wife, bless God. She can come to church too, all right? I can't come. I just got married. Now, I know in the Old Testament times, they were permitted for 1 year not to have to serve in military in those days. However, the Lord is telling this story, not Pastor Randy, and the Lord Jesus is telling us a bunch of people are going to have a bunch of excuses today for not doing what's right, for not obeying God. Here's my challenge to you today. Are you ready? Here's my challenge to you and me today as we continue to read. Be honest with me, okay? I really say, God, I don't want to just come to church just to read the Bible and just to go through, but I want you to take a piece of paper out and begin to write down what would you say is some excuses you've been using. Excuses for not serving God. Excuses for not doing and obeying the Lord in certain areas. Maybe it's right thinking. We had the youth there to share, but it's easy to lapse back and start going to the same old, same old. We had times of refreshing, but then the world's pulling on us, isn't it? Absolutely. I want you to think about where you're not obeying God, and God's been dealing with you about it. And today you can say, dear God, I've been making excuses for not obeying you, but I'm going to stop making excuses today, and I'm going to follow through with baptism. I'm going to forgive that person who's wronged me. Keep reading verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, that is the father that sent out these servants. Then the master of the house, being angry, Jesus said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, that is the wide streets, the broad streets, and lanes, narrow places of the city. Bring in hither the poor, and that means spiritually destitute, the poor and the maimed, those that are limping, and the halt, the crippled, and the blind, not only physically but mentally. Bring them in. Go out to those that will hear the gospel. Go out to those that will respond to loving the Lord Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Oh my, look at verse 22. And the servant said unto the Lord, it is done, and yet as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. There is room. Say that with me. There is room. I'm looking around today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I would say there's room for people to come to the house of God today, wouldn't you? Look around you. There's room. Jesus said, go out into the highways and hedges. Now, I know you say, well, Pastor, isn't that your job? Yeah, it is, but it's yours too. If you're a Christian, my job is to equip you to do the work of the Lord. Read Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. Some people say, well, preacher, that's what we pay you to do. Well, I gladly do it. I really will. I don't do all that I should. I want to do more too. But it's your responsibility too as a Christian to go and tell. Amen. It's your responsibility too. What kind of excuses are you making for not going and telling? Keep reading. Oh, my. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out of the highways and hedges and compel, that's a constrained with persuasion, compel them to come in. Why? Jesus is saying this, not Pastor Randy, that my house may be filled. Let's say that together. That my house may be filled. Do you believe there's people in Jasper, Canada that need Jesus? Amen. You believe there's people right now that ought to be in church worshiping and serving God? Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I know you are, and I love you, and I thank God for your faithfulness. How many are concerned about your church? How many are concerned enough to do something about it? How many are concerned about people that aren't saved? How many are concerned about enough to do something about it? Are you making excuses, making all kinds of excuses for not doing what you know you ought to do? This is not a guilt trip, folks. This is a challenge to me and to you. Keep reading. One more verse. I see folks sitting down left and right. I'll be done in just a moment. Hold on. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges, verse 23, compel them to come in that my house may be full. For I say unto you, said the Lord, verse 24, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is the word of God. May God bless it to our heart. Father, thank you for your challenges, Lord, in my life. And I confess, Lord, I'm not everything I ought to be. I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you that you take nobodies and make them somebody. And you will save anybody. That's why you tell us we ought to tell everybody. So God bless our time together. All the excuses, Father, that you know we've been using for not doing right, for not obeying you, for not breaking free from bad habits, from things that, God, grieve your spirit or quench your spirit. I pray today, Father, I know people need encouragement, but Lord, your blessings are where the encouragement comes. And so help us not to be deceived, Father, to just think that we can be blessed by you by living a life of partial obedience or disobedience. God, give us grace to obey you. And as you speak to us, as you, Father God, know us better than we know ourselves, we pray now that we would not come to your table this morning with excuses. So, Lord, you know the excuses that I use. You know the excuses that our dear precious people use today. And I pray, Father, I know that we're going to have to be in tune with you. So, Lord, I know again that there's a lot of distractions. People came to church for various reasons, out of habit, to see each other, to feel good. And, God, we want to do all that, but yet we want to do more than that, Lord. We want to obey you, to be in your will, to have your approval, to have your blessings, to have your vision, to have your anointing on our life and your power on our life. So, Father, get glory and honor today. We bless you now and praise you for your cleansing power. Hallelujah. Thank you that you said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So, Lord, it's hard for me. I'll admit, Lord, and you already know it. It's hard for me to admit when I make excuses. And, Lord, it's convicting when I find myself making excuses for not obeying you. And so I pray, Lord, you'll help us to be open and receptive and do something about it when we feel convicted today, when we feel that you, Lord, it's a good thing when the dentist pulls out that rotten tooth, Lord, that abscess tooth. And it's a good thing, Father, when we get our things right with you. That's what you want, Father. So help our people, Father, today to see that we want your blessings. And so help us to do what you tell us to do, whatever that might be. And we ask it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Can I share with you four reasons why we ought not to come to the Lord's table with excuses? Are you ready? Number one, because God takes nobodies. The Lord delights in taking nobodies. That's why we ought to come to the table today and say, dear God, you delight in taking nobodies. I mean, you will, and by the way, number two, not only does the Lord take nobodies, but number two, the Lord takes nobodies and makes them somebody. That's why we ought to come to the table today without excuses. Number three, the Lord desires, delights in taking nobodies like me, like you. Oh, I could praise the Lord right now, but I'm going to hold that praise for a moment. No, I'm not. Thank you, Lord, for taking nobody like me. But number two, the Lord takes nobodies and he makes somebodies out of them. We'll see that in chapter number 14. First, the nobodies in verses 18 and 20. Secondly, he makes some somebodies in verse 21. Third, he takes nobodies, makes them somebodies, and that's why he will save anybody. We'll see that in verse 22. And then finally, he takes nobodies like me and you, makes them somebodies. Isn't that wonderful news? Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Oh my, to take a nobody. No. You don't realize how nobodies we really are. We want to think ourselves as some, you know, the pride in us and all that stuff. But really, God takes nobodies and he makes them somebodies. He'll save anybody. And that's why, number four, we ought to tell everybody. That's found in verse number 23. All right, number one, God takes nobodies, nobodies. And we find that in verses 18 through 20 of Luke chapter 14. Look at this, Luke chapter 14 and verses 18 through 20. Read again with me if you're there, say amen. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, verse 19, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to go prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And then number 20, verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Do you know what nobodies do? Nobodies don't make excuses about material possessions. Y'all watch me now. Listen to me just a moment. It's so easy to make excuses for not serving God, for not obeying the Lord. And if we're not careful, like this person did, again, the father is God the Father in the parable. God the Father has a wedding for his son. It's a foreshadowing of the marriage supper of the Lamb found in Revelation chapter 21. And Revelation chapter 20. And so the Father, look at this now. The Father has got a banquet, a fellowship, a wedding feast for his son. Speaking of wedding, did you hear about the little girl was sitting in a wedding? She leaned over to Mama and said, Mama, as the bride was coming down the aisle, Mama, why did the bride and why is the bride always wearing white? And the mama says, Honey, it's a happy time. Everybody's happy. It's a wedding. Everybody's happy. And then the little girl looked at her mama and said, But mama, why is the groom wearing black? Good question, right? Right. The father sends out the servants. Are you getting the picture? The father says, Go tell them and go give them an invitation for the wedding feast. And so the servants go out. Will you come to the wedding feast? Will you come to the wedding feast? Won't you come to the wedding feast? I want to give you a personal invitation. Here's an invitation to come to the wedding feast. Here's an invitation to come to the wedding feast. Will you come to enjoy around the table? I want to personally give you an invitation. Now, keep this in mind. Jesus is telling the Pharisees and the scribes who were Jews that the gospel was being brought to the Jewish people. But what did the Jewish people do? And Jesus is telling this, like many people do today. Will you come to the wedding feast? Will you come to the table? The Father's inviting you. Here's a personal invitation. Come, please, and enjoy it. No. Bah. I can't come. Why not? What's going on? I bought some land. I got a farm. I just want to go over and see what it looks like. Really? You mean you're going to? Yeah. I can't come to church today. I've got to work out in my yard. Hello. Got to do stuff out in my yard. I can't come to church today. Excuses. I got to wash my truck or car. I got to, all kind of excuses people use today. And then the servant goes out and says, What about you? Here's an invitation. Will you come to the wedding feast? Well, I would, but I just bought these cattle. I'm fixing to get on a nerve right here. I've got some animals at my house. I got to stay home and take care of them. My frog had tadpoles, you understand. I got to stay home with my frog. People will give all kinds of excuses today for not serving God. Talk to me. Y'all are looking at me like, Pastor, you must be preaching to the choir. No, I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to me and you. And you use excuses. I use excuses. We all use excuses. Now, I know sometimes providence should hinder. I'm not talking about that. Hospital or sick and so forth. But we use all kinds of excuses for not obeying God, don't we? Well, everybody's got porn on their computer. Really? Well, everybody's got a bad attitude these days, and I don't get mad, I get even. Really? Was that what God wants you to do? What kind of excuses are we using today for not obeying God? Well, I know I ought to be down at church, and I got vacation Bible school going on, or I know this is that Servant Surrender Sunday. It comes around every year. I just think I'm going to sit home and do nothing these days and twiddle my thumbs. Excuses. Hey, look, you're not going to have to answer Pastor Randy. You'll have to answer Jesus one day. Amen. And I will too for the excuses. What? You got a piece of paper? You got the excuses right now on your piece of paper? Think about the excuses you've been using for not obeying God. And we all have them. Talk to me now. We all have them. I mean, even the best of Christians have excuses. Why? Because the flesh is weak. Why? Because that I would do, I find myself not doing it. That I don't want to do, I find myself not doing it. But I love you, but I got to tell you this. All this is to encourage you and encourage me that, look, time's short. Time's running out. And my brother and sister, life is but a vapor. And we get all wrapped up in our world making excuses. Can I say something? We have church here on Wednesday night too, and Sunday night. Amen. Really? I mean, we do. Amen. Oh, I got to watch the Falcons play today. Really? What's that going to matter in eternity? Talk to me. I love you, but this needs to be said, does it not? Because we use all kinds of excuses for all kinds of things. You say, preacher, you're meddling. Well, let me meddle a little while, okay? I know I use excuses, you use excuses. Let's just be honest, okay? My intention is not to make you go on a guilt trip. My intention is to lead us that we come to the table and say, bless God, as far as I know, Lord, I've got everything confessed. I don't want to come to the table with a bunch of excuses. I don't, do you? How many want to come to the table without excuses? Some of you can't raise your hand. Why? Because you're not dealing with what God's been dealing with you about. And you need to be honest with the Lord. I love you, but you know, Pastor, I need every once in a while somebody to tell me the truth. Because speaking the truth in love will do what? It'll set you free. And this is my intent. The blessings of God. Hey, watch this. God always honors obedience. Obedience brings blessings. Let's say that together. Obedience brings blessings. One more time. Do you really believe that? Do you really, really believe that? I don't know if all of you really believe that. Do you believe you know more than God? You don't. I don't. And could it be that God's got more blessings in store for you if you'll just, and I'll just start obeying God and stop making excuses? I've got a land over here. I've got a farm over here. I've got cattle. Secondly, well, come on to the table. Come on to the table. Now look, every once in a while when I preach a message like this, people will leave mad. I can always tell when God gets a hold of somebody, because they'll get mad and I'll be like a lightning rod. They'll say negative things to me because they hadn't done what God's told them to do. That's all right, though. I'm open for it because I know that the Lord has our best interest in mind. So don't get mad, get glad. Get glad. Don't be mad. Don't resist this. I know that I'm like many of you, that when somebody starts sharing with me things that may not be right, I put the brakes on. I say, I'd rather you not say that. Well, bless God. When are we going to get real and really have God's blessings? Talk to me. We live in a culture, we live in a time where we don't want anybody ever to say anything negative about us. If they do, we get highly offended, right? But as a Christian, my brother, as a Christian, my sister, we constantly need to be checked with our motives. Come on, talk to me. We really do. And you know that I love you. You know that I'm not intended. I don't have an axe to grind on this. I want God's blessings on you and your family, you and your life. And I know what God will do. God takes the nobodies. Come on to the table without excuses, all right? The second one, when I've got some animals at home, my cat, I can't leave my cat at home. I've got to make sure my cat, you know, I got to, nothing wrong with cats, nothing wrong with dogs. I've got them. I love animals too, okay? But I love Jesus more than animals. People use all kinds of excuses today for not serving God and not obeying the Lord. Don't let the things that aren't necessarily sin, loving your animals is not a sin. But putting them before Jesus, then it becomes an idol. I got to stay with my animals and I can't serve God and I don't have time. I've got to do this and that with all this and that. And you've heard it and I've heard it. Number three, I just got married. I can't come. I've got my family coming in and I've got this thing going on with my family. How important is Jesus to you? You know, I'm finding this, beloved. This is what I'm sharing. This is not negative at all, but this is my challenge to us this morning. You know what I'm finding? This day and time, I would have thought, my brother, and this is just a personal opinion, I would have thought once we got a president who would release some freedoms and liberties, we have been absolutely, for the last number of years, and I'll just be honest with you, our freedoms and liberties have been taken away for the last number of years, and it's really gotten a hold of God's people, and we've recognized that we needed revival like never before, and things are going on in our nation, the Supreme Court voting, same-sex marriages. I mean, there's an avalanche of things happening in America, and all of a sudden, we get some relief, and all of a sudden, there seems to be Christian Judeo values being implemented in America again. You know what I would have thought? I would have thought that would bring everybody in the neighborhood out to praise God and thank God for it. Wouldn't you have thought that? You know what's been the truth of the matter? It's been opposite. And I love you, and I'm saying this. And again, I just feel liberty to say this. Rather than going more and thanking God more and serving God more, many are getting more slack. You know, I've come to church if it's convenient, right? I'll give if it's convenient, right? A lot of Christians today. Now, I know if you're here and you're not in that category, it's not you. But I'm seeing a lot of Christians getting kind of slack instead of really saying, I believe your coming is near. Hey, look, folks, it's not time to get slack. It's time to get serious about the Lord Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I couldn't believe, for example, the Lord, watch, so take nobodies. I couldn't believe yesterday, over 90 people came, and like many of you here, committed to the Lord, love the Lord, willing to do whatever God tells you to do, but I was able to preach 1 hour without anybody moving. Nobody moved, and then finally took a break, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. People sat on a Saturday all day, senior adults, over 90 of them. Yesterday, it absolutely was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. You know, when they called and asked me to come down and go from, you know, 9:30 in the morning to 5 o'clock, I said, yeah, right. A couple of people sign up. Come on, talk to me. No, over 90 people came. It's a blessing. And it encouraged my heart. And they weren't looking at the watch after 15 minutes. They were taking it in like many of you take it in. They couldn't get enough of the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying they're super saints. I'm convinced that they have their flaws like we do. They probably make their excuses like we, but my point of saying that is this. I said, Lord, you'll take a nobody. And I realized, and I said, dear Lord, I don't deserve to be sharing God's Word with these Christians who are dedicated Christians. I'm not saying that in a superficial way. I'm telling you the honest truth. I just say, God, thank you for taking a nobody. Thank you for taking a nobody. Open the door. God delights in taking nobodies. Nobodies that don't make excuses. Lord, here am I. I'm available. Do I got a lot going on? Yeah. But God give us grace to obey the Lord. Will you do it today? Number two, he takes nobodies and makes them somebodies. Look at verse 21 of the text. He takes nobodies and makes them somebodies. Verse 21, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets, verse 21 of Luke chapter 14, and the lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Go get them, in other words. Go get them. And God takes nobodies and he makes them somebodies. Hey, look, when we come to the Lord's table today, let's just don't come casual and say, oh, well, we do this once a quarter, and after all, you know, here's the bread, and, you know, I understand we do that. It's kind of got a little bit of spiritual meaning. No, God takes nobodies. He makes them somebodies. He makes us accepted and beloved. He makes us a part of his family. He does something in our life we couldn't do for ourselves. He has been good to me. He has been good to you. He takes nobodies and makes them somebodies. By the way, do you know what the servants that wanted? Some said, we're too busy. Others said, no, we're coming to the marriage feast. Some are too busy to bow down at Jesus' feet. I got things going on right now. I'm busy and this and that, and I don't, you know. But if you want the blessings of God, and you do, if you want the blessings of God, how many want the blessings of God? If you want the blessings of God, you've got to, and I've got to, obey the Lord. When God tells us to do something, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's encouragement, whether it's prayer, whether it's reading our Bible more. Hey, we could all use some improvement. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's stop making excuses for not doing it. Stop making excuses under the sun. Let's just do it. Let's prioritize our life today. 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 As you come to the table, some changes need to take place. God, I and it's not that you willfully want to disobey God. Watch this. It's just things creep in our life and keep us from the best. Amen? Things just happen. We don't do it intentionally. I understand that. We don't set out and say, well, I'm not going to obey God today. It just happens, right? Some of you are shutting down on me already because God is convicting you. And you know you're under conviction, right? You know you're under conviction. Don't fight God. Don't fight God. Don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at God. Do this. Lord, you're right. I waved the white flag. Lord, you're right. Other things have been more important to me. He takes nobodies. He makes them somebody. He'll save anybody. He'll save anybody. Go out in the highways and the hedges. Compel them to come in. Get the maimed and the poor and the blind and the halt. Yes, Lord. And then last but not least, as we get to the Lord's table, without excuses today, number four. God takes nobodies, makes them somebody. He'll save anybody. That's why we ought to tell everybody. Really, look at this. Look at this. Verse number 23. And I'm going to be closing here in a moment. I know this is, you know, straightforward. I don't know any other way to share it. But I love you, and I pray that God will bless you. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, verse 23, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, many of you, watch this, are serving God. You're going the extra mile. And I know you're stressed, and I know you're busy, and I know, and I appreciate that. God bless you. You're going to get the blessings of God. You can rest assured. Others of us maybe could be perhaps, you know, working on some areas that God is showing you today. You've had a bad attitude. You've got your mind filled with junk, trying to keep up with everybody's business instead of the business that God has for you. And it's so challenging these days to keep up with what God is saying to your life instead of getting on the Facebook or whatever and trying to keep up with everybody else's business. Somebody say amen. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that oftentimes that takes the place of us really loving God and serving God, doesn't it? It does. There's things in my life. I don't do Facebook, but I got other things that take me away from the best. Okay? I got other things that keep me from the best. I want heaven's best, and I believe you do too. Here's the deal. Go out, bring them in. Fill my house, and then send them out again. Go out, bring them in, that my house might be filled. That's what Jesus is saying. Wonder if all of us work together about going out and bringing them in. Wonder what would make a difference. You see, we praise the Lord for the radio ministry. We praise the Lord for church. But y'all would agree with me, the time has come nowadays that you, God will bring in people from here and there occasionally, but if we don't go out and tell them and love them, that's what the Lord's saying here. It's our responsibility to go out and tell them. You see that? Go out in the highways and hedges. Watch this. And this is what happened with faith training. You know what I'm talking about. We do it for a while, and then nobody responds, and we say, well, bless God, it's not working. It is working. When God tells us to do something, he always rewards it, whether we see it or not. And in due time, we'll reap if we faint not. Be not weary in well-doing. I know you've invited people. I know they hadn't come. But don't give up there. Go to somebody else, right? Right. And guess what? Go out, come in, go out, bring them in, and then give God the glory. Give him the glory. God, you're changing lives. And we see that all the time. So let's bow for prayers. Our men, our deacon fellowship would come, please.